tonight. I'm excited to share with you all, and I think this ties into what Pastor Rondi has been preaching regarding the rebranding. Also, what Minister Patrick ministered on this past Sunday. So when he was speaking, I was like, man, this sounds like a lot of some of the stuff that I was going to say. So I thank God for just his confirmation and just the leading of the Holy Spirit. So let's go to Deuteronomy chapter 30. And our theme verse is going to be verse 19 through 20. And I think King James is fine. Are you all there? You need a minute. You need a couple seconds. You there? Okay. All right. So Deuteronomy 30, starting at verse 19. It says, I call heaven and earth to record this day against you, that I have set before you life and death, blessing and cursing. Therefore, choose life. Everybody say, choose life. This is the equivalent of having like an open book test, or when your teacher says, so we're going to learn today chapters 1 and 2. When you go home and study, you shouldn't be on 3 and 4 and 5 and trying to figure out, because they already said where they were going to test you, all right? So the Lord is saying, I have set before you life and death, blessing and cursing. Takes the mystery out of it and says, therefore, choose life. And look at the impact when you choose the way God tells you to choose. You and your seed may live. It says that both you and your seed may live. I'm going to go down to verse 20. It says that thou mayest love the Lord thy God, and that thou mayest obey his voice, and that you may cleave unto him. Listen to that word, cleave. For he is thy life and the length of thy days, that thou mayest dwell in the land which the Lord sware unto thy fathers, to Abraham, to Isaac, and to Jacob, to give them. He says, cleave unto him, for he is thy life. And when I was going over my notes, I was thinking about a lot of times my husband and I, we watch basketball together, and we kind of make fun of the players sometimes. Sometimes we coaching them from the living room. They can't hear us. We coaching them. And Patrick is basically, he's the head coach. And I think sometimes I do a lot of defense talking and stuff like that, right? Yeah. So I do a lot of defensive calls. Anyway, we hear this phrase in our culture. Has anyone, raise your hand if you ever heard, ball is life. All right, good. Ball is life. But verse 20 said, he is thy life. So I just thought that was so funny. We, in the culture, we are so, I was talking to Minister Anissa about this the other day, like not being so easy going with saying, oh, I love this. I love that. Oh, I love pizza. You know, I love music. I love this. I love that. But we're supposed to love the Lord thy God. And we can really enjoy pizza. We can really like pizza. But be careful what you love, because what you love, you serve. What you love, you follow after. What you love, you'll go to no end to get. And I don't know if I would like be willing to go to hell over a slice of pizza. You know what I mean? So I don't love pizza, but I enjoy a piece of New York sliced pizza. That's for free, okay? All right, not over pizza. So the Lord told us to choose life. So tonight's message is going to be entitled, It's Time to Decide. I know one of the biggest arguments, maybe between a male and a female if they're dating, is like, where are we going to eat? Well, I don't, it's whatever you like, babe, or whatever you have a taste for. I don't know. Most of the time, I think it's the lady that's like, I don't know what I want. And then the man might be like, okay, well, what about pizza? No, I'm not feeling pizza. Like, so you kind of know what you want because you know what you don't want. But, well, let's go get Mexican. I don't really want Mexican. I had Mexican last week. Okay, well, you pick. Okay, I pick Italian. No, I don't really want Italian. Like, okay, so can we make a decision? make a decision. Here's some life application for you guys. Mark Zuckerberg, you may know him or know of him. He wears the same clothing pieces. Why? This is to free up mental capacity and space to make more impactful decisions throughout the day. On a more spiritual note, Billy Graham followed what is known as the Modesto Manifesto. There's four prominent themes. There's integrity with finances, sexual morality, working in partnership with the local church, and then lastly, publicity or public affairs. He had these measures put in place so that the enemy would not have a claim against him. This was to thwart the plan of the enemy as he was traveling from city to city. He would need to get hotel rooms. You know, people carry spirits, and some people would try to set preachers up to get them, whether it's a woman, to get them to sleep with them or do some kind of scandal, try to mess up their name and ultimately destroy the gospel message. But these are the extents that great men, right? These two great men have this in common. In order to make good decisions, I need a good decision-making process. They're both keenly aware that if I don't make this decision, if I don't decide to wear the gray shirt and the khakis every day, there's a chance that I may run late to my first meeting because this shirt isn't cut the right way, or I need to iron it, or this is dry clean only, or I need to steam this, I need to put a crease in, like, and I don't know about you, like, I have absolutely fell into that trap. Like, just pick something to wear and keep moving. And I know the Lord had definitely dealt with me about decision making and being indecisive. I remember you guys may know of a book, it's called Pigs in a Parlor. Pastor Rondi had shared that with us one day on a singles call a few years ago. And when I was reading it, like, I was so shocked that, like, being indecisive is like a work of the enemy. And I was like, and I used to kind of get a kick out, well, I'm kind of indecisive, so I don't know, you pick. Like, I just used to, like, say that in passing as if it wasn't, like, a big deal. But do you know if you're indecisive in the last days, you could fall away from the Church of Jesus Christ? If you're indecisive, you could be here this week, and then you can literally be like KCOH who next week? You have to have decision-making processes to keep you making the right decision and keep you from making the wrong decision. Again, the Lord tells Moses, he tells him, he's given him instruction. This is just a chapter or two before Moses goes to be with the Lord. And so he's giving Moses like these final instructions so that he can share with the children of Israel in front of all of them and in front of Joshua, his successor, to set him up. And I was laughing because I said around like chapter 31 or 32, Moses was really going in on the children of Israel. He said, I know how stiff-necked you are. And when I pass away, you're going to be even more wicked, because when I was living, this is like a Cassie translation. You have to read it in the, you know, the original text. But he basically was like, you were so stiff-necked while I was here, while I'm here. And so I don't really expect you guys to get better, but here is the commandment from the Lord. And so sometimes that reminds me of what our pastor has to do. He's like, he'll tell us to go watch a sermon, or he'll tell us to go evangelize. And then he'll, you know, he's going to check up the next time that we come together on a Zoom or whatever. And he'll raise your hand if you did it. And you know, you feel that shame of, I don't have an answer. Don't have an answer. And it's not time for us to be Matthew 25. Well, Pastor, I know you always, you know, it's sometimes the way you word stuff, and I didn't know if you really meant. No, he meant what he said. And then we just chose, right? We did make that decision to not follow him all the way. And so that's an admonishment for myself. I'm definitely talking to myself and all of us to make sure that we don't just take for granted the men and women of God that are in our lives. So let's talk a little bit about people that had to make decisions. So let's go to Joshua 24 and 15. This may be familiar to you, but let's ask the Lord for a fresh revelation and new application for us. So Joshua, I think he sounds like his mentor in this spot. He says, and if it seems evil unto you to serve the Lord, choose you this day whom you will serve, whether the gods which your fathers served that were on the other side of the flood, or the gods of the Amorites in whose land ye dwell. But as for me and my house, we will serve the Lord. What you do, what your household does, that's it. First is individual, and then that's global compared to what you guys are doing, compared to what our pastor is doing. Like, it's not Pastor Rondi's salvation. It's not our First Lady's salvation that's going to get us to the promised land. We have to have our own spiritual discipline, our own decision-making methods. We have to decide who we're going to serve. We have to decide. Let's go to the next one. 1 Kings chapter 18, 21. Now you guys can just write these down, and throughout the week, if the Lord brings it back to you, go ahead and look them up. Get familiar with scripture. This is the word of God is who we are governed by. And if we don't know the word, then I know we're missing some of those decisions, because there's biblical precedence, I believe, for pretty much every decision you have to make. So if you get familiar with the scriptures, you can say, oh, the last time Joshua was faced with this, this is what he did. When Moses was faced with this, this is what he did. Watch this. When Lot made the decision to go to Sodom and Gomorrah, this is what I should not do. So some examples in scripture, right? They're going to give you an example, and it's whether you should follow that example or not, but they're all meant for you to learn from. Okay, are we there? 1 Kings chapter 18, 21. This is a good one. So it says, and Elijah came unto all the people and said, how long halt ye between two opinions? If the Lord be God, follow him. But if basketball is your God, if Baal, then follow him. And the people answered him, not a word. That's how it is sometimes when our pastor's asking us stuff and we like, did you do what I asked you to do? See? The answer should have been no, but we just went and didn't say a word. But you could fill in that area where it's the God of Baal. You could put whatever it is that is your fancy, your convenience. If going to get a manicure and pedicure is your God, then follow after that. But if you're really going to be in the church of the Lord Jesus Christ in the last days, you want to be standing tall, standing firm, standing strong, then follow him. All right, let's go to the next one. Abraham and Lot had a decision. Let's go to Genesis 13, 11. I'm going to be bouncing around a little bit, but I really just want to make the case that we do have to decide. And even not deciding is still a decision. So either you can take your pick. Then Lot chose him all the plain of Jordan, and Lot journeyed east, and they separated them the one from the other. Let's go to Ruth 1 and 14. I love the book of Ruth. I think it's okay to say that, since that's the word of God. And that's kind of, but I really enjoy reading the book of Ruth. I don't want y'all to say, she double-minded. She just said, okay. All right. And they lifted up their voice and wept again, and Orpah kissed her mother-in-law, but Ruth clave unto her. Did we read in verse 20 of Deuteronomy 30 that thou mayest cleave unto him? Same word, different conjugation, but same word. So there's things that we should depart from, there are things that we should cleave to. Wives should cleave unto their husbands, and wives should depart from old ways of thinking or the mindset of, I'm grown, I can do what I want to do. Same for husbands. Husbands should cleave unto their wives and not be at Hooters or insert whatever place that, you know, they serve good wings. That's what they were saying. I don't know. Well, you know, I like wings. Like, but why are you over there? You can get wings from H-E-B and put them in the oven and be at home and cleave to your wife, right? All right, so this is where, this started where both Ruth and Orpah, they had to make a decision. Orpah decided, all right, I'm out. She was going to go back. She was going to try to find her a man, which we know that's not scripture. The women don't go to find a man, right? Right? Okay. But Ruth clave into her. And so for those of you who know that story, we know that Ruth was set up very well. She married a wealthy man. She, Pastor talked about Boaz on Sunday, that Boaz took care of business. He did what was right before marrying her. And so that's a decision to make. You can decide to, like, get married with, like, $100,000 in debt or so, you know, or you can start paying things so that when you get ready to say I do, you don't feel like I don't afterwards, you know? So that's, again, that's a decision. It's time to decide. Let's go to the next one. Let's go to Esther 1 and 12. Esther 1 and 12. I hope this is a blessing to you guys tonight. All right, Esther 1 and 12, we're there. Okay, thank you. But the queen Vashti refused to come at the king's commandment by his chamberlains. Therefore was the king very wroth or very angry, and his anger burned in him. All right, so that was her decision. Let's check out the next decision in Esther chapter 2, verse 9. And the maiden pleased him. All right, so what was he in that previous scripture that we read? He was wroth. He was angry. It was burning. The anger was just, he was hot, basically, okay? But this one says, this verse says, and the maiden pleased him, and she obtained kindness of him. And he speedily gave her things for purification, which such thing as belonged to her, and seven maidens, which were meet to be given her out of the king's house. And he preferred her and her maids unto the best place of the house of the women. Okay, do you see how pleasant this scripture is? Like, it's filled with all kind of things and kindness and goods for her. Not only those, not only her, but those who are serving her. And everybody is being blessed. When you make the decision to be a problem solver, when you make a decision to be what I call a low maintenance church member, that's something that I strive. When I say low maintenance, I mean, we actually take to heart the things that Pastor is teaching us, so we don't have to call and text him in an emergency all the time. At some point, we got the answer, right? Choose life. At some point, he's given us the answer every Wednesday, every Sunday, what we should do when this happens. When somebody tries to give you something that fell off the back of the truck, what should you do? Keep it? Yeah, keep it, right? No. Okay, so we shouldn't be calling, and even sometimes, you know, life group leaders may be giving you an instruction, and then, like, you're like, oh, well, I was just wondering, I wanted to run this by you, but, like, that answer was already given, like, last Sunday or 3 Sundays ago, 3 Wednesdays ago. So did you make the decision to make it to Bible study that night, or did you kind of just say, I'll just go back next week? Sometimes we're not in the place to get the response or get the answer for life tests because we're literally not in the right place. But I love the way the King James talks about that Esther obtained kindness. And let's go to the next one, New Testament. Let's go to Mark 14:66. Because some might be like, well, that was the Old Testament. Okay, so here we go. We're in the New Testament now. That was back in the day. Okay, so here's the current, okay? And as Peter was beneath in the palace, there cometh one of the maids of the high priest. Keep going. And when she saw Peter warming himself, she looked upon him and said, and thou also was with Jesus of Nazareth. Keep going. But he denied and said, I know not, neither understand I what you say is. I don't know what you're talking about. And he went out into the porch, and the cock crew. Right? Three times? Oh, first time. And the maid saw him again and began to say to them that stood by, this is one of them. Next. And he denied it again. And a little after, they that stood by said again to Peter, surely thou art one of them, for thou art a Galilean, and thy speech agreeth thereto. Next one. But he began to curse and to swear, saying, I know not this man of whom ye speak. And the second time the cock crew, and Peter called to mind the word that Jesus said unto him, before the cock crows twice, thou shalt deny me three times. And when he thought thereon, he wept. This was a decision that Peter made. But let's go to Luke 22 and 3. Then entered Satan into Judas, surnamed Iscariot, being of the number of the 12. Now, the reason why I wanted to contrast these two disciples is because I think it brings out the element of that as long as we're on this earth, there are times when we may make a bad decision. But what we do after that decision, what that restoration process looks like, has to do with us making the decision to be restored, to be changed. By the time Judas got to this point, he was so far from the Lord that Satan literally entered into him. But we see where Peter, number one, he has a book in the Bible, two books in the Bible. And so we know that he came around. He was converted. Let's go to, let me see, there's a scripture. There is a scripture that I wanted to share. Let me see. I think it's Luke 22:31, same chapter. Let's go there. 22:31. Luke 22:31. And the Lord says, Simon, Simon, behold, Satan has desired to have you, that he may sift you as wheat. Keep going. But I have prayed for thee, that thy faith would fail not. And when thou art converted, strengthen thy brother. So when you have that time where you need to be reconciled to the Lord, you have this window, this grace, this space to make a turnaround. Otherwise, Satan gets exactly what he wanted. So we just read that Satan desires you. He desires charity. He desires Sister Lachelle. Like, he desires us all. But we know that the Lord ever lives to make intercession for us. So we thank the Lord that Jesus is praying on our behalf, but he's praying that our faith would fail not. But when we are converted, when we are fully resolute in our decision to follow after Christ, this qualifies us to make disciples. It qualifies us to strengthen your brother. But you can't strengthen an alcoholic when y'all in the same bar. Talking about the Lord is just leading me. I have a heart for those who have been given a strong drink. I just have a heart, and I gotta be all things to all men, right? So I can, no, that's not right. That scripture, the way you using that, that's not right. And so it's very hard to try to convert or try to change someone else's mind when you're doing the same thing. So again, it's time to decide. Are you looking like those you're trying to help, or are you the converted looking to strengthen a brother, strengthen a sister, right? Remember, Billy Graham had that in place so that the enemy would not have a claim on him. John 14:30. We could go there really quick. And this is just the setup for us. And I have four steps in our process to help us make the right decision. So hereafter, I will not talk much with you. This is Jesus. For the prince of the world of this world cometh, and he hath nothing. Some versions say he has no claim on me. And so we want to make sure that we really are faultless, that we really are blameless. This allows us to access all those promises that we read in Deuteronomy 30. We quote it every Sunday or every time we do offering, right? Deuteronomy 28, the blessing of the Lord overtake me in all areas of my life. But you got areas in your life that's kind of foul. Like, he's not going to overtake you in all areas. He's not going to do that. And sometimes that's the holdup. I've heard people say, well, I'm doing everything. I don't know where the breakthrough is. I could tell based on that tone alone, you're not doing everything. Because those who believe in the Lord, those who follow after the Lord, Romans 10:11 says, he will not be ashamed. You will not be disappointed, right? One of the greatest decisions, since we're talking about Romans 10, right, is Romans 10:9 is to make that confession. You declare openly with your mouth that Jesus is Lord. You believe in your heart that God raised Jesus from the dead. That's the number one decision to make, because it's impossible to live righteously when you haven't even done that first step. You're going to fail every time. But the Lord told us what? To choose what? Choose life. Choose life. You don't have to choose the way of your fathers. You don't have to choose the way of people in your hood where you grew up. You don't have to do things the way, oh, well, my family was Catholic, so we just do it. Okay, you don't have to do it that way. Oh, well, they didn't really believe in speaking in tongues like that, so I'm just not really used to it. Okay, get used to it. Like, you don't have to be married or committed to any lifestyle, any person, any group of beliefs, any group of people if they're not following after the Lord. You don't have to. People say, oh, blood is thicker. I don't know really what that phrase means, blood is thicker than water. All I know is the blood of Jesus has been shed for me, so I want to follow Jesus. I want to please him. You don't have to do that. And so even for somebody, let's say if somebody in your family, it could be a spouse, it could be a friend. You always going down in that church. You always doing this. You always doing that. At some point, you're going to have to cut ways. That's what Abraham and Lot did. And I know Abraham loved his nephew, but Abraham made it into the Faith Hall of Fame in Hebrews 11. So I don't think he was really... After a while, he probably was like, well, Dad, he just made a bad decision. Come on, wife. Come on, flock. Come on, riches. Come on, gold. Come on, livestock. Come on, cattle. Did we hear how much cattle is on Sunday? Like 30K? Even more than that? So why are we even worried about what people are doing from the past when they're not moving forward? And it's okay. Don't have that survivor's guilt. Oh, well, I just don't want to be doing that good because they still, well, until they do what you do, they're going to be where they are. That's just the bottom line, and you shouldn't feel bad about that. If the promises of God in him are yes and amen, if somebody's saying, nah, I don't really think so, I don't really believe that, then you need to leave them alone. If you in high school and somebody's trying to get you to do something and you know it's not right, like all the teaching that we have, there's no excuse. There's no excuse. At a certain time, we have to decide. We have to decide. We have to decide. Say, we have to decide. Say, it's time to decide. It's time to decide because decisions are going to be placed before us every day. And it's not, and it's so much greater than, do you want Chinese or do you want Italian? It's like, do you want to live or do you want to die? Do you want your children to be raised in holiness or do you want to sell them to Disney or sell them to whatever the latest trends are, right? You don't want to sacrifice your children. The Bible said in Deuteronomy 30, I keep going back there, 30 and 20 says, I'm sorry, 30 and 19 says that both you and your seed may live. Like sometimes the things that our children are battling with, are dealing with, is a result of us not being prudent in a certain area. Like we have to have the hedge of protection up. And when we make foolish decisions or when we make selfish decisions, when we decide I don't feel like spending time with them, I'd rather do my own thing. Like we take away from their experience that they should be having as a child so that they can know the love of the Father through us. That's how they know who God is. When we make a promise to them, we should be keeping that promise because God never fails or he never falters on his promises to us, right? And so even with one another, like if we say we're going to call somebody back, we should actually call them back. And I know, like, I'm working on that, and I know sometimes I just won't even give you a date because I'm like, I don't want to lie. But then it also helps me to make a decision. And if I said I was going to call you at 1, okay, here I go, putting in my Google Calendar, Apple, setting this alarm, that alarm, because I need to make good on that promise. There's a series, I can't remember the title, but Pastor talks about how, you know, when we lie or when we break promises to people, like, it damages our own belief, ability to believe God to do something. You're not going to believe God will make good on a promise because you know you got like 10 other people in queue that you owe stuff to, or you just never made good on things that you said. Oh, I'm going to get you a bird. Oh, I saw this cute shirt. I'm going to get you one just like it. And you never got the person a shirt. And like, maybe they're not broke and like hurting for a shirt, but did you say you was going to get it? Like, you probably should, you should make good on that. And that's an area that we all can come up in. And that is, again, our children see what we do. So then when our children see us, oh, whatever, I don't really have to make good on that. Then they do that in school. And then when the teacher calls and it's like, this young man is unbelievable. He did this in class. And then we want to be like, what? I know my child didn't. And like, if they could say it, they'd probably be like, Ma, you be lying. But, you know, they're going to be honorable. But just know, like, that hurts their faith. They see us, I mean, stomping the wood out. And then they're like, Mom ain't even like that at home. Like, Daddy not like that at home. I remember there was times, and I talked to my grandma about this. I remember one time she would get home from church, and she would be on the phone. And she'd be like, yeah, because I told them. And I was like, Grandma. And this was when I was a baby Christian, like brand new. And I might not have even really been one, but it might have been like a few months before I made the decision. And like, I would see her do that. And I'd be like, now I'm not saved, but I knew. I'm like, man, that's not right. You know, you shouldn't. If you come home and you on the phone talking about everything that went on at church. And this was years ago. This is way before KCC. So y'all can't even connect the dots. This is old. This vintage. She's not like that. And I just be like, that's just not right. So it's time to decide. You all agree? Amen. Let's go over four different steps that can help us, that will help us make right decisions. And I have scriptures for these, so you, again, you can write them down. Our next steps, before I get into those four areas, first, let's talk about what our next steps are. Guard our heart and mind with all diligence. Proverbs 4:23. You can go there on the screen. It says, guard your heart above all else, for it determines the course of your life. Think about, you know, living in a gated community. Like, the purpose of the gate is to keep those out who shouldn't be in, and also to protect those who are there. There's certain things that literally just don't belong in your heart. And you can't just let people speak over you, speak into you. Oh, you're going to be just like this. Especially when I go to Deuteronomy 30 and I'm like, no, that's not one of the promises. Or Deuteronomy 28. No, I actually don't see that there. No, I'm not going to be that. And be okay with saying, no, I don't receive that. And then just go ahead and, yes, I would like a number one with the, you know, doing whatever you were doing, right? So guard your heart. Also, make sure you are mindful of how you're thinking. Proverbs 23:7, for as a man thinketh in his heart, so is he, or so goes he. Whatever you're pondering, you're mulling over in your own mind, in your own heart. A lot of times women, they have bad, it's called self-talk. Oh, I just don't like my shape. Oh my gosh, if I could just lose these 5 pounds. Like, stop talking about yourself like that, because the enemy is actually chilling at this point. He don't even have to send nothing your way because you're doing his work for him. You know, like, same thing for the gentleman. If you're trying to, you getting gains, like, stop like looking in the mirror and be like, dad, my calf's so skinny. I gotta, like, stop doing that. Stop talking bad about your hair. If I had her hair, no, you got what God gave you. And you just work with what you have. And if you need an extension, get that. If you want to wear it curly, straight, whatever. Like, stop doing that, because that's not what God has for us. So what are we going to do to make the right decisions? Number one, we're going to rinse. Purify your heart. Cleanse you double-minded. A double-minded man doesn't receive. So you can find this in James 1 and 7 through 8, James 4 and 8. Number two, renew, or to make strong again. Pastor is in our rebranding series, and so that means to change the image or go back to the image that God originally called us to be in. Reuse. You were used once. Let's be reused for the kingdom of light. We want to be vessels of honor. You can find that in 2 Timothy 2 and 20. All right? We want to be usable by God. Lastly, repeat. This sounds like a laundry cycle, huh? Rinse, renew, reuse, and repeat. Once you've done those first three, repeat it. Do it over again, on Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, every day. You're going to need to be renewed in your mind, in the spirit of your mind. Remember, Jesus told Peter, after you have been converted, strengthen your brother. Tonight, I want to admonish you to be faithful. 1 Thessalonians 4 and 17. Those who are alive and remain will be caught up in the air to meet Jesus. It's time to decide. It's time to decide. Come on, let's give the Lord a hand clap of praise. That is my time. Amen. Let's all stand to our feet for prayer tonight. I do want to open up the altar for the first call, our call of salvation. Again, I talked about making any good decision in the Lord starts first with making a decision to follow Christ. Romans 10 and 9, if you will confess with your mouth that Jesus is Lord and believe in your heart that God raised him from the dead, you will not perish, but you will have everlasting life. Let's go to the Lord in prayer. Father, we thank you for this time of getting into your word and just going scripture upon scripture to hear what your heart says, what you want to do in our lives, God. We just thank you and give you the glory. Thank you for another opportunity, God. Thank you that you allow us to choose, God. God, thank you that you're such a loving God that even if we decided not to follow after you, you would still love us, but you would let us have our own decision. Father, I just thank you, Lord God, for the opportunity, God, the grace and space to make the right decision.